What do I say after all that? It's all been said already. But we have to know more about love. Not just loving each other on a human level, but loving that which is of God. To see that which has no beginning. To understand the living essence that brings life and immortality to light. It's something that is beyond human description. So when we're talking about love, and we know that the Lord asked Peter one day, he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, and the word love is, you know, agape. But Peter answered with the word, yes, Lord, I philia you, or I have a friendly love towards you. And at one stage he said, I will even lay down my life for you. What kind of life would you lay down for me? You know, he said, you cannot really come yet into the realm what's going to be revealed after you have experienced even the most horrendous things in your own life, which you wouldn't like, I wouldn't like you to tell them before they happen. So things in our life can happen that we never expected. And sometimes when we start in our Christian experience, life seems to be very rosy. Wonderful things happened. And most of you can testify that wonderful enlightenment, light, colors and beauty. Your eyes are opened and you begin to see things which you have never seen before. And it goes on for a few years, you know. But gradually, the good things which you think are permanent seems to fade away. And then the trials start. Then you begin to continue to live in a world by which you then begin to judge by your eyes and by the hearing of your ears and by the feelings of your emotions. And the things which you experience in this life, you think is reality. But what you experience in this life is not reality at all. This life, this human existence, was finalized when Jesus said it was finished. You know, Jesus finished humanity. He experienced the very pain and the anguish that all humanity experiences. He was not just come as an angel of light and said, here I am, you know, and I'm going to zap you with all that stuff. But he came as a servant. He experienced the pain, the anguish of soul. And he said, you will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. But in the midst of hell, you have shown me the pathway of life. You have shown me the causation of your original purpose of life, to reveal a mystery which has been hidden God from the foundation of the world, which is now being revealed. And let me tell you this, it cannot be revealed until we come into the place where we see all as God sees it. Otherwise it won't function. Love cannot function on an emotional level. It seems to be that way, but it only is sort of for your friends and the ones you like, but not the ones you don't like. You know? So you get all these different viewpoints and all these feelings and this emotional attachment. And really what I want to clarify in a sort of foundational message is I have been, and I suppose many of you have been confronted with the teachings of the church concerning the mystery that was hid. Now, we read in Ephesians 1 that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him. In him. It cannot be out of him. It has to be in him or in it. It's got to be in that thing what is real, what's true. And there's only one only begotten of the Father that brought this revelation. After he suffered the most horrendous things in this world, he said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Now there are, as I have concluded within myself, I begin to see two principles. Things that work conditionally. Love is unconditional towards everything and every form, everything. There's God. God is the expression of all living form. Whether it is, you know, life as we know it, whether it is animal or whether it is vegetable, even the minerals, everything has been created by him and for him. And all things consist by a particular energy. And I like to call that love energy. Now there are two kinds of energies that are in the world. One is totally obscured by the judgments that are in the world. So the love of God that originally was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, it's there for our recognition. And recognition is to remember what God spoke in the beginning. What he said to you and I. You know that you were there when he spoke it out? In your primordial, original identity, you were there. The formless, omnipresent self that you are. That is now hid in a multitude of forms and colors and creeds and religions and formations of all sorts of things that are formed by what I would call mental energy. In other words, the world that we know today and the formations that have been formed and taken place is a formation of mental energy, not love energy. Are you understand the difference? Yes. So the whole world is a formation that Jesus came to, well, to spoil. It says he spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and made an open show of it, and he triumphed over it in it. And it is love that triumphed. Regardless, he did not resist. It was like a lamb led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. And that's the mystery. And unless, and I have again concluded that the body of Christ as a whole needs to come out of condemnation. Not just self-condemnation. No, you've got to come out of condemnation altogether. You know, love thinks no evil. It puffs not itself up and say, I'm here, and you know, look at me. Huh? I used to do that too, you know, we all did it a bit. But I'm learning now to submit myself to the activity of a living activity which I would call love energy. You know that love energy upholds the universe by the word of its own power? That's how he does it, or that's how it is happening. It's something that works right around us, all over, everywhere it is. It's a very present help. It's there. Love is a present help in a time of need. Isn't that something? an everlasting presence. So we must stop following cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Eyewitnesses of his majesty? Yeah. Where did they see and bore witness to the majesty of this loving presence that radiated and stood on the Mount of Transfiguration? They were beholding themselves. You know that? We always, oh yeah, Jesus began to transfigure and we saw Jesus transfigured. Well, what they saw was their own true self. And then when we begin to really be transformed by the renewing of our mind, we begin to see something but this has not been seen after the man said, I'm afraid. It's perfect love that will cast out the fear of self-preservation. The mechanism by which we, you know, kill, murder, have wars and rumors of wars, and we do all sorts of things trying to preserve this physical thing, you know. And we are so proud if we can. But let me tell you, Jesus did not come here to preserve that thing what we have formed. We have formed our life out of mental energy. You know that? Because we were all believed that we were born. And what is born cannot inherit the flesh, the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So the thing that was formed out of the mental idea that I am born of flesh and blood is a farce. It is a fake. It's not true. Otherwise Jesus wouldn't have come and done away with it. He said, if you try to preserve your life, you will lose it. But when you let go of it, you will find it. It doesn't really matter. Like what Mike says, it's not the good things in life that proves that that you are spiritual. Sometimes when you make your bed in hell and nobody's there to help you, then you have to come to a point and say, my God, you know, why have you forsaken me? Well, you will hear a little voice. No. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even to the end of the world. Now, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will. Huh? Now, good pleasure is the word eudokeia, which means God has good thoughts towards you. You read that in Jeremiah 29:11. God has good thoughts towards you. Thoughts of peace, thoughts of harmony, that your expectations continue to be in what I would call love energy that produces a life that's beyond anybody's imagination. It's beyond the structural body, what we can see, feel, taste, or touch. It's beyond every imagination. You know, even thinking that, for instance, well, you know, if I can only have a good holiday in Hawaii on the beach, you know what I mean? And that will be my that would be wonderful. Yeah. And you go there, you know what I mean? Save all your money up. You come to Hawaii, then you sit on the beach, and then you get a hurricane. I thought this was going to be a holiday. Well, you know. But don't worry, because all things work together for the good No, according to God's will, those who are called according to his purpose, and he is destined to experience love to the fullest extent, and he will not be tempted above what you can bear. Isn't that something? And he will also make a way of escape, so he will be able to bear it. So hang on there, okay? Even sometimes the trials and the tribulations are so severe that you say, well, you know, I thought I was going to come in and I had a not such a good bout with something I picked up somewhere. I don't know what it is. I don't want to give it any power or acknowledge it. But it was not very pleasant. I'm going to see my family, and my family saw a sick old man. Well, what is this? But then I realized that regardless of what I experience, and it wasn't pleasant, and we all know that sometimes things are not very pleasant, and it wasn't pleasant, but I've learned that I know in who I have believed, and I'm fully persuaded that neither life nor death, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Amen. Nothing can. Okay? Now, what can we then do to bring this to the world, that love is the only energy that's going to set the world free from its corruption? You know? And therefore it says that the whole creation is travailing until now, until there will be a revelation or a manifestation of this love energy in people. You know? In all the weaknesses of our flesh, in all the things what we experience, there's an energy, a love, that can come out of the most weakest and most, well, sick, maybe even sinful human being. It can spring forth in something like myself. When I made my bed in hell, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Actually, I went there twice. Somebody said to me, if you keep on doing that, Tony, you're going to go to hell. I said, listen, man. They said, I've been in hell so long, why don't you show me your way out?
Right.
You know, so the whole picture has to change. We're not going to tell people and condemn people that they're going there. You're going to find a way to get them out of there. Isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah.
And how do you do that? Well, like my mic was saying, non-judgment. But you cannot sort of pretend to love. You look at a person and he knows you, yeah, I don't like him. And you smile a little bit. You say, hi, you're Joe. Hello. Nice meeting you again. And inside you go, you know. Now, it's got to be spontaneous love, because what you are judging is your own self. If you have done unto the least of these, my brethren, Jesus said, you have done it unto me. So we're going to go on a little bit here. Verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might get it together in one, all things in Christ, both were in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, I want to remind you that the English language sometimes gives you the wrong impression that something still has to happen. You know that? And I'll give you a couple of scriptures by which you can know where did the condemnation come from? Where did the judgment come? Well, you know, it says, well, God is not finished with me yet. He's still working on me. But I'm waiting on the Lord. You know that God is waiting for you. He said, awake thou that sleep and rise from the dead and stop waiting for me to do something. God is waiting for us. waiting to awaken to righteousness and sin not. Paul said, I say this to you, shame. You do not have the knowledge of God. You do not have the understanding of what love is. You don't know what's going on. So we read, for instance, that he, now I'm going to rephrase this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he gathered together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are even in him. So I believe that he gathered from the east to the west. You read that in Matthew 24. He gathered from the east and to the west. In other words, from every location in the heavens and in the galaxies, he gathered into one all things into himself. Not going to happen one day. It's already happened. Somebody says, yeah, well, what about the fullness of times? When is that going to come? Jesus said, time is fulfilled. Well, how many of you believe that? Time is fulfilled. In other words, wherever time was active in our humanity, which you see in the aging process, which you see in the body deteriorating, which you see in all the, you know, you're living, you see people being born and being people dying, and, you know, and then still in fast forward. You know, we're dying like flies, and people still wondering, when is it going to finish? Well, all humanity is consummated in Christ already. It's finished. Now, in order to be freed from the judgment that we feel, we must believe the gospel. We must believe, for instance, that God reconciled the world unto himself. Did he or did he not? Is he going to reconcile the world, or is it already done? It says he reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. Now, if God does not impute trespass or any kind of thing what we do or say, if God doesn't impute it, who is going to do it? We got to stop judging.
Yes.
If God reconciled, who's going to? I mean, you're going to make God a liar? Hasn't he finished the work? Or is he still doing it? No, he's not doing anything. He's resting. He's there. So there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And when they stop judging, there is a love energy that's going to flow like rivers of living water. Out of the innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. When this thing we call a human mind and the gobbledygook that goes on there all the time, you know what I mean? When we let go of all the gobbledygook and the judgment and the worry, the cares, and the feelings of I have not. I have not.
Have
you have not? What? Have not what? Have gone will travel. Have God will do. Have God. And God has given itself to you. He sent his only begotten self, his only begotten son or offspring to be you. We always looked at Jesus, the man. Say, that's God only begotten, and he was so pure and so holy, and they nailed him to a cross for your sin. That's not what the Bible teaches. He died as all. Yes. If one died for all, then are all dead. Can you judge a dead man? Can you go to a coffin and say, you're not supposed to smoke, you know. No drinking, no smoking, no dope, no adultery, no... And the man looks at you with glassy eyes, you know what I mean? Well, that's what happened to this minister. And he had a lot of trouble with people that were living in a total sense of guilt and sin and condemnation and watching each other, what they were doing, you know, checking everybody out. And he thought by himself, now what am I going to do in this situation? And he got a good idea. He went to the local undertaker and he said, can you make me a nice, beautiful coffin? Yeah, okay. And he said, and I need some bunches of flowers around, you know, and dressed all, and I want you to put in front of the church for me. I'm going to preach on the one that's passed away, you know. So the people came in the next Sunday, you know, everybody with the heavy burdens and sitting down and checking each other out, you know. And all suddenly they saw the coffin in the front. And they said, who died? Hey, who died? Who died? And they look and see if there's anybody missing, you know. And the minister said, beloved, we have come here to give our last disrespect to the one that passed away. Disrespect to the one that passed away. So I want everyone to come forward. I want you to pay your disrespect, okay? And they didn't understand that. So they called this old lady going to come and struggle into the front with her. And she looked in the coffin. And she looked up. She went white as a sheet. Her hair went more grayer than it was before. And she walked down to her seat, struggling, you know, to walk and sit down. Shaking in the leaf. And the next one came up. My God, you know. And now everybody that let a look gave their last respect. And the minister, of course, had done something after everybody's, you know, had a look. He'd done something. What he'd done, he put a mirror in the box, in the coffin. So when they looked, they saw themselves. See? So give your last respect. Let that old man be dead. But not just your own old man. Let everybody's old man be dead. Because dead men have no... God doesn't judge the dead man. He judged the last Adam, which was dead. You mean to say Jesus was dead? Yes, Jesus was dead. Is born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were all their life subject to the mental activity of the mind and the beliefs and the systems and the religious activity that's been in the world for many, many centuries, which he exposed as false. Humanity in all its action, including most of the religious activities. And it's simply because of judgment. Because we see still sinners out there that we believe are going to go to hell if they don't behave themselves. Amen. You better watch that you don't go yourself, you know, or go back there at least. Because, you know, after a lot of condemnation and judgment that you put on others, gradually you feel condemned yourself. Because all what you do is condemning yourself. So once and for all, let's look in the glass, and then do away with the image of that which appears to be you. Because that's not you. What you see in the mirror is not you. Huh? What the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his only begotten self in the likeness of sinful flesh. Huh? Died and set all men free. He freed the Christ. Paul said, I'm crucified with Jesus. Nevertheless, I live, yet it is not I, Saul of Tarsus, you know, the killer, the judger, the condemner. No, I'm crucified with Jesus. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. Because if righteousness would come by the law, then Jesus died in vain. If we could have been perfect in our humanity, this is why I am emphasizing that God is not perfecting humanity, like some people believe, that gradually we are going to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's not true. All right, let's look at that. In Romans 8, of scriptures that you know are very famous, and I won't give you all that long now. Romans 8, okay. For whom he did foreknow. Now we just read that he foreknew you. Okay, he foreknew you before the foundation of the world. You were in God and he knew you as his only beloved offspring. Huh? Why that offspring? For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinate. Now it says in italics to be. And that's not true. How can you say that? Because I know it. And it says in italics, because italics are not in the original. So simply said, he predestinated, conformed to the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren, and whom he did predestinate, he also called, and whom he called, he also justified. Just as if never existed as a human. And when I found out that God predestined me not only to be, because I'm conformed to his image, whether I believe it or not. You might say, well, sometimes I don't think you are, Tony. Well, that's okay. I know, sometimes I don't feel it myself. But I am, and I know I am. I'm not going to be condemned by anybody that tells me otherwise. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So God is for you. How can anybody tell you that you are a sinner and that you're going to go to hell if you don't, you know, give your heart to Jesus? I'm telling you, Jesus doesn't want your heart. He got rid of that heart. He said, I'll give you a new heart, and a heart of flesh, a heart by which this love energy can begin to flow. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
So salvation has nothing to do with going to heaven when you die, okay? Salvation is obtaining the glory that we already had in the beginning with God, which sustains and maintains you for all eternity. It's the light of righteousness. Ah. Isaiah tells us about the light of righteousness. It's the glory that is going to be revealed in you. After this seminar, you're going to walk out of here and people are going to say to you, what happened to you? That's what I said to my wife. Because I was always looking at my wife, you know, judging her. But when I got the revelation of the justification, even the justification of the ungodly, I said, how do you know? Because I didn't understand how, you become righteous if you believe in Jesus, you know what I mean? Then that's when you become righteous. And then I read that God reconciled the ungodly. That there was nothing in the world that can be left out. All shall know me. Huh? And my peace that passes all understanding I give unto you. Not as the world gives, because the world can't give you that peace. That comes from a sense of total freedom in love. In love, you have freedom, and sometimes even when you are a little bit harsh, a little bit hard towards your brother or your sister, you know, there's always that place of, Father, help me, forgive me. I didn't want to do that. I don't really feel like doing that. But there is this mental thing that's still there, you know what I mean? That likes to judge things by its outer appearance. And it's so easy to do. I've been doing it for years. I'm an expert in it. But now I feel it. Do you feel it? I feel the peace. Jesus said, my peace. Not as the world gives. But if I only can feel less pain, I will have peace. Or if I can only have $100 to pay the rent, then I will have peace. Or if I, you know, if my wife would be a bit nicer to me, then I will have peace. No, you won't. Because you have a conditional kind of love that you're waiting for. You know, and that's not true at all. It doesn't work like that. Like what we read, what Mike read before. Love is the primal activity, what I would call love energy. Mike calls it the prime directive, I think. Yeah. That flows like that. It works. It's beautiful, isn't it? So my peace is not a peace that you get because of outer appearances. My peace is there regardless of behavior, any condition or situation you feel. And now begin to realize that all your thoughts and your activities have to become obedient to the thought of God. My thoughts are not your thoughts, he said. My ways are not your ways. And as the heavens is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And as the rain falls down from heaven and descends upon you like the dew, so shall my word be. That goes out of my mouth, it shall bring seed to the sower and bread to the eater, and it shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish that for which I send it. So this is the introduction of a message that has been on my heart. And the next time, if the Lord allows me to do that, I will share a little bit more about this love energy that Jesus demonstrated when he done all these wonderful things. We wonder, how did he do it? Did he have a special kind of faith? No. He was operating in absolute love energy without condemnation. That's why he said, go to this woman who was caught in the act of adultery. He said, woman, go and sin no more. I condemn you not. Let us not condemn each other. Never mind what. Forgive each other for whatever the wrong is done to you. Begin to see light in the darkness. Begin to see it. There is light on the other end of the tunnel. Look very, very, and there is a little speck of light. Walk towards it. And you will find that it will expand and get bigger and bigger and bigger until the whole atmosphere where you live in is lighted up, and that's heaven. The light of heaven is right here, and we can experience it in this seminar. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that your word is powerful and quicker than any two-edged sword, separating the thoughts from man from the thoughts that you have for us. Father, we thank you that you are not a respecter of person. For all person and all personal identity you have done away with. There's only the true, only individuality, which is the life and substance of every living form that there is. And you are the head of the body. You are the fullness of him that fills all in all. And you have given us a word. And that word liberates. The creation as all are waiting for it to be manifest in us. Let's not wait or try to wait till God does something. Acknowledge that God has finished the work we are here to bear witness to truth. And everyone that is of the truth will hear it. It will resonate within them. Yes, this is the way to go. I want to walk the love walk. And we thank you, Father, you're making this possible even in this seminar. And we thank you for it in Jesus' lovely name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.